The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
Now it comes to the time of the service where we look at God's Word together in the Bible. So if you want to take up your Bibles, we're in a series in Mark's Gospel, thinking about questions Jesus answered. No, we're not. People Jesus met. And that we're looking at Mark chapter 10 in the sort of second half of the Bible, the New Testament. And I'm sure Naomi, who's going to read, will tell us the page number. And then Rob is going to come and preach to us.
Great, thanks. It's page 1015, as you find it. Mark chapter 10, and it's from verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Ah, so lovely to be here. What a privilege it is. I won't really do too much of a long introduction because I think everyone knows me, but if you don't, I'm Rob. It's an absolute privilege to be part of St. Michael's, and I call St. Michael's my church when I'm at university. I go to St. Mary's University, Twickenham, which is, of course, literally just around the corner from here. I'm currently studying theology, religion, and ethics. Just finished my second year, about to go into my third year. And as mentioned earlier as well, I'm also involved in leading the Christian Union, which is just great fun. Before I go any further, why don't I just say a very short prayer? Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to just dive deep into your word, unpack it together. We thank you that you healed Bartimaeus, that you're a God that heals. And we just ask now that may you open all of our hearts so that we can hear what you want to say. And may you just use me as your servant, Lord. May my words be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, let me start with this. I'm going to start with a question. I wonder if you've ever been in a hopeless situation before. Let me share one of my experiences. So, now, I don't know about you, but in our family, I'm like the ideas person. I'm like, yes, guys, we should do this. And sometimes I don't think things through, I'll be honest. That's maybe a weakness of mine. Anyway, so one of my great ideas was to go on a family walk. And we decided to go to a local forest. And it was around that time of day where it was still daylight, but it was starting to get dark. So we started the walk when it was daylight. But did we finish it when it was daylight? You'll find out. So we've started the walk, and we're walking along, and then as we've started to realise, we're following a set map, and we've started to realise that it's getting darker, and darker, and darker, and we seem to just be on this weird, bendy, long route as a family. And it got to the point where my mum, like, got the family together and was like, "Right, guys, like, it's pitch black now. We genuinely may have to have a plan of, like, staying in the forest for the night." And it just felt so hopeless. Right, I'm going to leave you in that state of hopelessness there. So if you want to hear what happens with the story, you'll have to carry on listening. So I think we can break the passage down, as you can hopefully see from your handout, into three sections. Hopeless, hungry, healed. So what's the plan? The plan is to break down the passage, talk about how the passage points to the greater story in the Bible, and look at how the passage relates to us in our 21st century life. So, as your handouts say, looking at an overview of the passage, we have the hopeless section. That's verses 46 to 48. So we've got Bartimaeus. We're told he's a blind beggar. He's sitting by the roadside and he's calling out to Jesus, and the crowd is telling him to stop shouting to Jesus. Next, we get our hungry section, verses 49 to 50. This is where Jesus calls him. Bartimaeus throws his cloak to the side. He jumps up and he runs to receive prayer from Jesus. And then, of course, healed, verses 51 to 52. Bartimaeus is healed immediately. Immediately he receives his sight and he follows Jesus. Now, essentially what I'd like to do is unpack that Bartimaeus is inspirational to us. And as we unpack this passage together, I really encourage you to journey with Bartimaeus. Because the fact is, as we will explore a bit later on, that we are hopeless, hungry, and healed. Now, Bartimaeus' story points to discipleship. He has faith in Jesus, his eyes are opened, and then he follows Jesus. He recognizes he needs mercy, he is hungry for Jesus, he follows Jesus. So let's get straight in. Verse 46 to 48, the hopeless section. And hopefully there should be a map on the screen, but also on your handout. So verse 46, we're told that Jesus and his disciples come to Jericho. Now, this is because Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem from Capernaum. And in order to get to Jerusalem from Capernaum, Jesus and his disciples go through Jericho. And this is where we see the healing take place. Now, this was something that I really found interesting. So immediately at the start of this passage, the author of Mark's gospel makes a point of not only naming the location, but also naming people. So immediately we see real places being named, real people being named, genuine events taking place in genuine locations. So let's have a look at Bartimaeus' circumstances to really help us understand how hopeless he was. So at the time, being blind was considered a curse from God for sin. And how do we know this? Well, in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. And in verse 2 of John chapter 9, the disciples ask Jesus, is it his sin or his parents' sin that caused him to be blind? So it's worth noticing that this cultural idea of blindness was actually considered a curse from God. Now, of course, Jesus refuted this idea and healed the blind, and it didn't mean you had a curse from God if you were blind. So, verses 47 to 48, we see Bartimaeus shout out to Jesus, and the crowd told him to be quiet. So let's really picture what life would have been like to really understand this hopelessness situation. So we have a blind man along a roadside begging and being told to stop shouting by lots of people. So let's really put ourselves in Bartimaeus' shoes. How did he get anywhere? How did he get any food? How did he get any water? Did he have any friends? Was he an outcast in society? Did he even have just one friend? And these are just some of the things. You know, we could list of what Bartimaeus was going through. These are just some of the things that he would have been facing. Let's look at what Bartimaeus says to Jesus in the passage. He says his first response is, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, how inspirational. And this actually should be the first thing that we say to Jesus. Now, of course, most of us aren't literally blind beggars, but spiritually, we're blind beggars. Like Bartimaeus, we have absolutely nothing to offer Jesus apart from a plea for mercy. Scripture makes it clear. For example, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says that by nature we are deserving of God's wrath. And then also, please, we will look at Romans chapter 5, verse 19, which hopefully should be on the screen as well. It says, for just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. Calvin explains it like this. in Adam, all died, is that he, by sinning, not brought disaster and ruin upon himself, but also plunged our nature into like destruction. And that not only in one fault, in a matter not pertaining to us, but by the corruption into which he himself fell, he infected his whole seed. So, in the same way that Bartimaeus recognized that he needed mercy and he is totally dependent on Jesus, it's the same with us. Now, this points to the beauty of God's grace. And Calvin also said this: in examining ourselves, the search which divine truth enjoins and the knowledge which it demands are such as may indispose us to everything, like confidence in our own powers, leave us devoid of all means of boasting, and so incline us to submission. Let me just read that last bit again. Leave us devoid of all means of boasting, and so incline us to submission. Our hope is not in human effort. Our hope doesn't point us to ourselves. Instead, recognizing our condition before God drives us away from ourselves to God's amazing grace and to Jesus' work on the cross. And we're going to explore this later, but it's worth mentioning now that notice how Bartimaeus, recognizing his status before God, actually increased his hunger for God. So, here's the challenge for us. In the same way that Bartimaeus is aware of his condition before God, are you aware of your condition before God? And if not, why not? Maybe have a think. Now, he also not only recognizes his condition before God, but he also recognizes who Jesus is. Now, this is powerful considering that hopeless situation he is in. Because remember, at this point, Bartimaeus doesn't know if Jesus is going to heal him, because at the moment, he's just shouting out, and all the crowd is doing is telling him to be quiet. Now, it's worth also briefly mentioning, if we look at verse 47 together, he says, Jesus, son of David. Now, you know, these days we just say Jesus usually, but I'm sure most of you know this, but of course it's just worth mentioning that son of David would have been said to someone that was the Messiah. And we know this from Isaiah chapter 9, because it says that the Messiah would have been a descendant of King David. So Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was before the healing took place. Notice how Bartimaeus wasn't shouting, Jesus, heal me! Jesus, heal me! Instead, he recognized who he was before Jesus and who he was. And, you know, we can be inspired from the powerful words in James chapter 4, verse 10, which simply says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amazing. So that's our first section of the passage done. Let's turn into our second section, hungry, verses 49 to 50. But of course, before I do that, I know you've been left on a bit of a cliffhanger here. I'll return to my story. So you know when you're walking in the forest and you're on those set routes, and they have those little arrows that you have to like look and follow where to go, if you know, you know what I mean. And so remember at this point, it's pitch black, I'm with the family, and I've got my phone, and it's a small phone at this point because it's a couple of years ago, and I'm literally with my tiny phone torch just going around in the forest just trying to find these small little arrows. And I can just remember feeling so hungry to get back to the car. Okay, I'm going to leave you in that state of hunger now. Don't worry. This is a good ending. Now, what I will say is this, though. I wonder if spiritually we can't find those arrows by ourselves, and we can only find those arrows if it is God's power in us. But as I say, I'll return to that later on. So, in verses 49 and 50, as you can see from the passage, we learn that Bartimaeus is allowed to come to Jesus, and he throws his cloak aside. Now, this is significant. All we are aware of that Bartimaeus owns is this cloak. And what does he do to follow Jesus? He throws it away. And compare this to the rich man that we see earlier on in chapter 10 of Mark's gospel. He didn't want to sell all he had to follow Jesus. And of course, what the author of Mark's gospel and what this story is trying to present to us is this is the contrast. Those that put huge value in the world, it makes it harder to follow Jesus. Whereas those that trust in Jesus and realize that the world doesn't have much to offer them, it's easier to follow Jesus. And I think Bartimaeus' hunger should be inspirational to us, because even when the crowd were telling him to be quiet, they were rebuking him, saying, stop, stop calling Jesus. What did he do? He kept calling on the name of Jesus. And I wonder if it's the same with us. You know, I can reflect on my life as well. Like, when we are in these stressful situations in our life, it's just so easy to sort of fall into that state of despair. And be like, oh, that state of hopelessness. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to stop calling on the name of Jesus. I'm just done. But no, and it could be an issue at university. It could be identity issues or maybe addiction. These things that we face in our life really try to stop our call on Jesus. But actually, Bartimaeus, although he was being rebuked, he kept calling on the name of Jesus. And you know what? It's the same for us today. We do not belong in a state of despair. We do not belong in a state of hopelessness. So the message is, let's keep calling on the name of Jesus. Let's intentionally let nothing take us away from calling on the name of Jesus. I did the New Wine discipleship year before going to university. And at this point, I was very new to everything. And one of the church leaders at the start of the year simply said to me, Rob, never turn down an opportunity for prayer. So what did I do? Each week, every Sunday, I would just go forward for prayer. And when I was new to it all, I could just remember feeling so excited in this queue going forward for prayer, just waiting for people to pray with me. So, like Bartimaeus was bold in going forward for prayer, I think we can also take inspiration for this. Maybe this evening, you would like to go forward for prayer. Let's be inspired by Bartimaeus. Cool. Final section, healed. Verses 51 to 52. Don't worry, we're going to conclude the story now. So, we're walking in this pitch black forest with my family, lost, pitch black, thinking we're going to have to spend the night. I've got my little phone out like an idiot, going around trying to look for these small arrows that I can hardly find. And eventually, bit by bit, we sort of managed to join these up together. And it took us way longer than expected, obviously. But eventually we found the car and got back to the car. And I can just remember feeling safe, having a sense of peace, fulfillment, and joy, relief. And I wonder if it's the same when we meet Jesus. Those feelings of peace, fulfillment, joy, relief. After being in a hopeless situation and hungry, now we are healed. So, looking at Bartimaeus' healing, it's ironic, isn't it? The one who is blind out of the disciples and the crowd is the one who could see who Jesus was. Bartimaeus understood the importance of Jesus' offering. Like Bartimaeus, those that follow Jesus, we are healed of our blindness. So, a message for maybe some of you here who aren't a Christian. How are you going to respond? Do you see the importance of Jesus' offering to you? You can be healed. So Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 8 says this. It's quite a famous verse. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I've got another quote from Calvin. You can probably tell I've been enjoying reading him this summer. Here, certainly, the fall of Adam is not presupposed as an anterior in point of time, but our attention is directed to what God predetermined before all ages, when he was pleased to provide a cure for the misery of the human race. Have you chosen to accept this reality? You can be saved from that hopeless spiritual situation you are in. Now, let's actually look at the healing itself. Something interesting to mention is that this is the last healing we see in Mark's gospel. And as we have previously mentioned, I'd like to pick up on it a bit more now, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was and believed in Jesus before he miraculously received his sight. And again, we can learn from Bartimaeus here. He didn't believe in Jesus for what he can do for him. He believed in Jesus for who he is. And it's the same with us today. Yes, it's amazing when God intervenes in our lives and God works in our lives, but that's not the foundation of our faith. We don't believe in Jesus for what he can do for us. We believe in Jesus for who he is. Let's look at verse 52. It's worth mentioning this, because I think without carefully looking at this, this could be misinterpreted. Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you," to Bartimaeus. And I think it's important to mention this, especially for today's culture. Now, what does Jesus mean when he uses the word faith here? He's saying to Bartimaeus is, you didn't do anything to earn this healing. You didn't deserve this healing. All you did is trust in me, and that's all I ask of you. But I wonder if sometimes people may twist the sentence of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've heard people say, the reason why you've not been healed is because you don't have enough faith. And they use this passage of scripture to justify that sentence. But I think I disagree with that. In order for a prayer to be answered, there need to be two criteria that need to be fulfilled. Number one, the prayer needs to be said in faith. Number two, it needs to be part of God's will. And if either one of those criteria isn't met, the prayer will not be answered. And actually, sometimes, for some reason that we don't understand, it's not always God's will to heal you. Now, let's briefly mention Paul. I found this really interesting when I was researching this. So first of all, remember that Paul, as we know, experienced many healings. And he also, though, accepted that sometimes healings don't happen. How do we know this? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's Paul's final greetings of the letter. And Paul mentions in the greetings, in the final greetings, that he leaves someone called Trophimus sick. He doesn't try to explain away the fact that he was left sick. He just accepts that sometimes people aren't healed and people are sick. He doesn't try and explain it away because it's not part of his biblical theology. So let's, as I mentioned at the start of the talk, let's go back. So verse 52, it says, they are going to Jerusalem. Now, I really want to mention this. The reason why they're going to Jerusalem, of course, is because we have that famous scene, Palm Sunday, where Jesus enters Jerusalem. And there would have been many people there to see Jesus' entry. But, of course, what do we know happens? Jesus goes to Jerusalem and dies on the cross. And we're left with this powerful picture, aren't we? Bartimaeus follows Jesus to his death. And actually, again, linking it back into our lives, sometimes it is hard to follow Jesus. But let's remind ourselves of those beautiful words in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 35. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. So like Bartimaeus, once we see Jesus for who he truly is, no matter where it is, inevitably we will follow Jesus, no matter what. And of course, this then leads to evangelism. When we're healed and following Jesus, we just can't help but share the good news. And it again adds to the significance of Bartimaeus following Jesus. There would have been many people in Jerusalem, and you can just imagine how contagious Bartimaeus is of just going around, did you know that basically I was a blind beggar? I was on the roadside. I had nothing. All I had was a cloak. And then suddenly Jesus walked past and I called out to Jesus and I said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then I rushed forward and then Jesus healed me. You can just imagine him going around being so infectious and full of and sharing what Jesus has done for him. I felt like I was in the Mark drama then. Bartimaeus is inspirational to us because it ends with him finishing, following Jesus and evangelizing. And of course, what I'm saying is let's not keep how Jesus has saved us from that hopelessness, that hunger. Let's go out and share that Jesus has done those things and he's healed us like Bartimaeus. Okay, let's just briefly mention how the passage points to the greater picture of the Bible as we come to a close. It seemed hopeless when Adam and Eve were separated from God. And then we see hunger for God, for example, animal sacrifice, trying to become at one with God again. But then, of course, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus has healed the gap between man and God, and we can now have relationship with God. And many people feel hopeless and hungry and yearn for a purpose and love. And I remember me personally, like, before I became a Christian, I was really struggling with my identity and a sense of purpose. I hated how I looked. I was convinced I was so ugly. I used to hate looking in the mirror. And I just used to really not like myself. And then one day, so I was shared the gospel, and someone told me what being a child of God meant. And it changed my life. Oh, shouldn't have tapped there. So, as we come to a close now, let's remember the context of this passage in Mark's gospel. Earlier on in Mark's gospel, in fact in chapter 10, we see Jesus teaching on ambition, riches. Being a Christian means to serve others. And what Bartimaeus' story does is it acts as a rallying call to us. Yes, these teachings are sometimes hard to follow, but God is good. And following God, we can know that we have nothing to fear. Bartimaeus is totally dependent on others being a blind beggar. And this is the same position we are in with God in a spiritual sense, unable to offer nothing and totally dependent on God. And actually, you know, this should just make us feel so grateful to God. And this is the beauty of worship songs, because God has saved us from this hopeless situation. And we can just spend a lifetime worth of worship just thanking Jesus for everything that he has done for us, saving us out of our hopeless situation. So, like Bartimaeus, let's get up. He's calling you. Let's go out to wherever we may go this week, Kingston, Twickenham, Fulwell, Teddington, and let's say, come. All of those that are hopeless, all of those that are hungry, all of those that are yearning for peace, purpose, love, fulfillment, acceptance, come. You can find that and be healed in the person of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Thank you.